This is sports, right? Basketball. Now, Bill, I'm going to give this to you.
He's good at that.
And I want you to stand there with that. Now, if you look at Bill with that ball in Bill's hand, Bill, how much would you say that ball is worth? In your hands, how much would you say that ball is worth?
The ball is worth?
Yeah, just a rough ballpark figure.
$5.
$5. Very good. That's exactly how much it cost me, $5. But that's $5 when it's in your hands. But if that ball, that basketball, was in the hands of LeBron James, how much do you think that ball would be worth?
Millions.
Exactly. You can keep the ball. All right. Russ, go long.
Go long.
Here you go. All right, so stand right there, Russ. In his hands, Russ, in your hands, how much would you say that football was worth?
Oh, $5.
Exactly, that's what it was worth. But in the hands of Peyton Manning, now I thought maybe I'd get, wait a minute, not Peyton Manning, it'd be another team player.
Peyton Manning's good.
Okay, Peyton, some of you will take Peyton Manning. But so, Russ, if that ball was in the hands of Peyton Manning, how much would that ball be worth?
Oh, much more.
Like millions?
Millions.
Millions and millions. Okay, got it. You can take the ball back with you. Okay. Now, I'm saddened over the fact that Bruce is not here, because thanks to Bruce, he brought me one of these, plus a few other things that we're going to do. And now, if Bruce was up here, he would even show us the techniques. Now, I don't know, and I was, like I said, I'm sad that he's not here, because I would ask Bruce. Okay, Tim, we'll just use you. You can stand right there. I'm going to give you this.
You can't miss with that club.
I know, you can't. Look at that. That's pretty big. So, I don't have a clue. I don't golf. I've never golfed. I would like to learn how to golf. But if you were to take that club, how much do you think that club would be worth? Do you know, by any chance, Caroline, what he's meant for that?
I'm not allowed to know.
Okay. Some are worth $50-$60. You know, I'm sure that's probably
about
$100. Yeah, huh?
Probably $80-$100.
Okay. So, but in the hands of who? Tiger Woods? If that was in the hands of Tiger Woods, it would be worth probably $50-$60 million, right? Okay. So, with that being said, how about this one? Mary?
What is that?
It's a rod. A staff. So, turn around, Mary. In your hands, what do you think that's worth to you? What could you use that staff for, Mary?
Walking.
I was waiting. That's the reason
making people get in line.
Making people get in line. Or, let's just say you're out on a wooded area, and some wild dog comes up, or a coyote. It's what's that?
I drop it and run.
A protection, a weapon. So in some cases, that's going to be worth a lot, right? Because of what it's being used for, right? But if you put that rod into the hand of Moses, what happened? That rod ended up being a tool that God used to what?
Part
the Red Sea. You can take that one back with you, Mary, if you would. So, let's go on to the next one. I love this one. This one's going to Dave back there. Dave, have you ever used a slingshot?
No.
So, I gave this one to Dave because... Now, Dave, if you said you used a slingshot before... But in your hands, though, Dave, when you used the slingshot, was it more kind of like a toy, or was it a weapon that you used to shoot things with?
I used to try this.
Okay, like a bird or something, or a can.
Apples out of the tree.
Okay. But to me, if I was to have that, it would be a toy to me. To probably most of us in here, right? Dustin, would it be a toy for you? Have you ever used a slingshot? Okay. So... But in the hands of the other David, the King David guy, in his hands, what took place? That slingshot killed and slayed a giant. So, let's say I had brought in a tray, and that tray, Dustin, had two fish and five loaves of bread, and you took it home, and you and Carter had enough for you to eat with bread left over, right? You'd have bread left over, five loaves of bread, you wouldn't be able to eat all of that in one meal, right? But when you hand that same ingredients, those two fish and five loaves, what happens? It didn't just feed two people, it fed thousands of people. So the bottom line here is this. Whose hands were they in? That staff is Mary's hand. It serves a purpose. But did it accomplish great things? Did it accomplish great things? What's that? Yes, in Moses' hand, yes it did. Lastly, these are nails. In my hands, I might be... Caroline's laughing because she knows I know nothing, absolutely nothing about carpentry. She can laugh. Go ahead, feel good. She knows I know nothing about carpentry. I mean, if I was to take these nails, you'd have to hand me, I could make a birdhouse, but it would have to be one of those, okay, this piece goes here, and all the pieces would already have to be cut. And, of course, I wasn't sure whether these would be the right nails for that. Would they, Caroline? Probably not. The point being that in my hands, these are worthless to me, in my hands. But these nails, or the nails that Jesus were in Jesus' hands, what? Accomplished what? Salvation for us and eternal life. Amen? So it all depends on who we put our trust in. It all depends on whose hands we put our stuff in. So when we carry around our worries, our cares, our fears, our doubts, guess what they are when we do it in our hands? They're still the same. They're still carries. There's still worries. There's still doubt. There's still fear. All of those things in our hands are still the same. But when we take those and we take them and we give them to Jesus, then something happens. What happens? He says, cast my cares upon me, for I careth for you. Now, this morning I want to touch on a story out of Mark chapter 5, verse 23. And it's about Jairus. It's about Jairus. If you guys want me to take those, it's okay. I just want to make sure we don't have an issue with them. Jairus, we know, was the leader of the synagogue. He was a very well... known in his community. He had status in that community. But this part of the story that I want to share with you about Jairus, it talks about a man who was a humble man. Why? Because he goes to Jesus, he says in chapter 5, verse 23, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. Jairus goes to Jesus. He's not using his status. He's not saying, I'm coming to you because I am one of the leaders in the synagogue. I'm well known, so I feel comfortable coming to you because of who I am. Again, what's happening? He's got it in his hands. He's still taking control of it, even though, if he has that mindset, he's going to Jesus. But if he's going with that mindset, he's still got that same problem in his own hands. He's still taking that problem and keeping it for himself. But he doesn't do that. I love this. It says he doesn't barter with Jesus. He doesn't negotiate with Jesus. And he doesn't make excuses to Jesus when he goes to Jesus. He just says, my little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her and heal her so that she will live. That's what fathers do. They get off their high horse. When it comes to their kids, they get off their high horse, their pride, whatever it is, they get down where they need to be. They get humble and they go to the Lord. That's what a godly father does. He doesn't use his status for anything. There are times when everything that we offer to God is certainly not enough for what we're asking to receive. Like Jairus here. There is nothing that Jairus could offer Jesus that could match what he's asking from Jesus to heal his daughter. There's nothing Jairus has or nothing Jairus can do that is going to match what he's asking Jesus to do for his daughter. And that's what, it's a hard thing for a man who's the head of the family, the head of the household. It's hard for them to not gain that little, get a little bit of pride in there and get set in your ways and, not budge from where you're at up here. But a godly father will bring himself down because he knows where he stands, and that's humble. He stands humbly before the Lord. So there was no games and there was no haggling with Jesus when Jairus went to him. Jesus simply went to the daughter of Jairus simply because of what? The honest heart of Jairus. That is why Jesus went. But do you know why God gave Jesus the strength or the ability to heal him in the first place? Because God knew what it was like to lose a child. Think about that. Those of you here today that have lost a child, God knows what you went through. He felt what you feel. The first thing that we've got to understand is Jairus, his first characteristic was one of an honest heart. This morning, as I was reading this and preparing for this week, every single morning now that when I wake up, I go, Lord, I want you to examine my heart. I want you to examine my heart. Is it where it should be? Am I humble enough? Am I honest enough with you with my emotions, my feelings? Am I? And that's a hard thing for a father. Because like I said, they're up here sometimes. They have to be up with their family because they're caring for them. They're taking care of them. So it's hard sometimes to get down where you need to be so that you can go to the Father and say, Father, my child is sick, or my child's going through bullying at school, or my child, I need to get them fired up to get their grades better. You go with him for everything, not just certain things. You don't hang on to certain things. You don't hang on to the rod. You let go of it. It's better in his hands. Look at all the things that I shared today, that how it, when you take it out of your hands and you put it into God's hands, what miraculous things happen. God has showed us time and time again. So this morning I want to touch on just a few men or fathers in the Bible. And the reason I'm bringing these certain ones up is because there's a lesson that we can learn from these fathers in the Bible. Now you're going to say, now wait a minute, this first one, I can't see this one, but here it is. He's, of course, the first man. He was the first human father, which is Adam. And guess what? The only example that he had to go by wasn't, because he didn't have a father before him other than the Heavenly Father. So the examples that Adam had were examples from the Father himself. But again, Adam strayed from what God, he strayed from God, and he ended up what? Bringing sin into the world. When he brought sin into the world, guess what happened? He brought in jealousy, envy, anxiety, fear, stress. All these negative things were brought into the world because of sin. Well, because he was disobedient and didn't do what he was supposed to do. He went against God, what God told him not to do. What happens? He brings in sin into the world. And when sin comes in, what happens? Jealousy shows up. And what happens? Cain kills Abel because he's jealous of him. So, Adam has much to teach us today, not only as fathers, but as mothers, about the consequences of our actions. And that it's absolutely necessary that we obey God's will. So that's a good example right there. So God is, of course, looking for fathers who freely choose to obey him and submit to his love. Okay, here's Noah. Noah stands out among the fathers in the Bible. Why? Because he was obedient. And the thing was, he was so obedient that he had so many wicked people surrounding him that, you know, he still was not intimidated by their mockery or whatever. He still stepped out and was obedient to what God called him to do. Noah was far from perfect. We know that. But he was still humble. He was humble. So here we have, you know, we talk about Jairus, who was honest in heart. Noah was humble in heart. And he was devoted to God. Noah bravely carried out the task that God assigned him. And the thing about this lesson is modern fathers may often feel that they have a thankless job. Don't you think that maybe Noah felt that way? That he felt sometimes in his position that it was a thankless job? Because everyone's like, what, rain? What are you talking about? Well, huh? And the razzing he must have got from, you know, from the wicked people that lived around him. He probably thought it was, you know, like it says, he probably felt like it was a thankless role that he was in. But yet, even with that, carrying that, you know, that heaviness, that burden of feeling like, oh, I'm doing this, and why am I doing this? Or I'm not getting any recognition. Fathers, I'm sure every one of you in this room have felt that way at times, where you work hard, you bring up your kids, you know, you faithful at bringing in the paycheck, faithful at making sure your child has, you know, not only a roof over their head, food on the table, but special things that they might need or want. And yet, do you hear thank you? Did you hear thank you? Or maybe their attitudes as they grew older, you know, they were rebellious. So as a father, sometimes that role seemed thankless. Okay, Abraham, he was the father of the Jewish nation. Now, that in itself would be frightening enough. I mean, it's frightening enough to, you know, I think about Renee and Alex who just had their baby. I look at Alex and I'm thinking, I think the reality of being a father is setting in. I mean, he loves that little girl and he is so awesome with her. But, you know, I think eventually, can I ask you guys that? When you had your first child, when you held that child for the first time, didn't it somewhat feel like overwhelming? Like, this is that baby may be so small, but this is a big picture, you know, this is bigger picture than I anticipated. I am responsible for a life. I'm going to have this life to take care of for the next 18 to 21 years. What a responsibility. So sometimes it feels like it's overwhelming. But the thing is, Abraham, he was a man of tremendous faith. And the reason we see that faith is because God had him take Isaac, his only son, and bring him to sacrifice him. But what God was doing was showing Abraham that he had to be first, that God had to be first. And fathers, that's hard for a father to do when you've got a wife and you've got kids. Sometimes it's hard. You know, I remember George just was so faithful with the tithe, and there were so many times, my husband, I would get so frustrated because we didn't have, you know, when we paid our tithe and we paid our bills, there was times we did nothing else. I mean, it was lucky we had food on the table. And I would get so frustrated. Can't we just, you know, put a little bit more on the next time? We need this. And he would not budge. He would not budge. And it was his way of showing me God is first and God will supply. So that's a hard thing for a husband and a father to have to do. But when you stand firm, that's what a godly father does. Now, it talks about Genesis chapter 12, about the mistakes that Abraham made. And it talks about when they went into Egypt, And Adam, or Abraham, was afraid that because Sarah was so beautiful, he said to Sarah, now when we go into Egypt, I want you to tell them that you're my sister, which she was his half-sister, so it wasn't really a big lie. But Abraham, what he was doing was worried about his own skin, because he said, if I go in there and they know you're my wife, they'll just kill me and take you. So he was preparing Sarah to say and to agree when he's asked, who is she? Oh, she's my sister. But as it turns out, when she ends up going into Pharaoh's house, Pharaoh realizes what's going on here, and he returns her to Abraham. And he goes, why did you deceive me like that? You know, why would you do that? Take her and go. What are we to learn from that? The lesson here that we learn about Abraham as a father, that God will even rescue and support us through our foolish mistakes. But all we have to do is make sure that every time we make a mistake, that we humble ourselves and we go before the Lord. And that leads us to King David. Yes, he helped David in killing Goliath. And yes, he helped David keep his faith when Saul was chasing him down. But here comes David's mistake. He is tempted by Bathsheba. And he has Bathsheba's husband killed on the front lines so that he could have Bathsheba to himself. And then he tries the worst thing. He tries to hide that from God. And, of course, the prophet comes to him and makes David aware that through a story that David was just as wrong as the individual in this story. David was even more wrong than the individual that was in this story that the prophet was sharing with David. But the thing is, when David realized that his heart wasn't right, he quickly went before the Lord and he repented. Now, there was a cost that was paid. We all know the story when he loses his son, Bathsheba's first child. But the lesson that we learn here is honest self-examination of ourselves. Self-examination. And then go before the Lord and say, Lord, I lay this at your feet. And Lord, I might do this sin again. I might mess up and fall back on this temptation again. I can't do this without you. I can't do this by myself. Help me, because I can't do it myself. Here's a good example of that. And I know all of you fathers that are in here today, your kids have all grown. They're all out on their own. But there are still times when you can be with your child, be it a son or a daughter. And there might be times when there are some things that keep popping up that you may maybe think, I should tell that child of mine, you know, I remember when I did this or I said this to you, and I want you to know, I'm asking you to forgive me because I shouldn't have said that or I shouldn't have did that. And I want you to know that I was wrong. And I want you to forgive me. So that's what David did. He went to the Lord and he asked for his forgiveness of his heavenly father. Now, the next one would be Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. I love what it says. It says Jesus was, of course, protected by Joseph. He was protecting Mary and the baby. And Joseph also taught Jesus a trade, and that the Bible calls Joseph a righteous man. Jesus must have loved Joseph as a guardian because of his strength, because of his honesty, because of his kindness to him. But what fathers can learn from Joseph is this, that God honors integrity. Isn't that what Joseph was all about? He had integrity. And he says, I reward integrity with my trust. In all these examples that I shared with you this morning, guess what happens? Mercy always wins. Mercy wins every time. Every time when you follow these examples and you walk out these lessons that we can learn from each one of these fathers of the Bible. Mercy always wins out. Number two, obedience results in a close relationship with the Father. Obedience always draws us closer to the Father. And lastly, God the Father, the first person in the Trinity, the creator of all, and giving us his son who not only took our place on the cross, but before he went and took our place on the cross, Jesus showed us how to have an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. He taught us by example how we could relate to the Father through prayer, through communicating with God, by fellowship with God, realizing that God is our Heavenly Father, but not only that he is our provider, he's our protector, and he can do all things. All we have to do is take it out of our hands and put it into his hands. Now, I'm going to share a short story. I just heard this the other day about a pastor who said, I'm going to take you, my son, he's talking to his son, he says, I'm going to take you for a two-day fishing trip. So they get to their location where they're going to go fishing, and the pastor, because he's a pastor, got called away. And the pastor said to his son, well, you stay and fish. I'll come back. I should be back later today. I hope to come back later today. But you fish. I don't want you to miss this time. So the kid starts fishing, and he catches fish after fish after fish. And the dad is, you know, on call. He's being a pastor. The next, or that late that evening, he calls his son. He says, I'm on my way back, and we'll fish tomorrow. We're going to fish tomorrow. I have nothing going on. Nothing's going to be, you know, nothing's going to get in the way. We're going to fish tomorrow. So the next day, they get up in the morning, and they both go fishing, and they didn't even get a bite. Not even a nibble. So the day goes by, the whole day, no fish, no nibble, no bite, no nothing. And now the father's feeling pretty bad. And he looks to the son and he goes, son, he said, I'm sorry that we didn't have as good a day today as you had yesterday. And his son turned around and he looked at his father and he said, Dad, this was much, much better than yesterday. And his dad said, why? And he said, because you're here. The bottom line here is, it's not what you do with your child. It's the fact that you are with them. And whatever you do, you are with them. So fathers, if Cheryl, if you can come up and play. Fathers, I want to pray over you. If you'll come up, please. Chico, that includes you too. Come on up. Russ, come on up. David, Tim, Bill. I'm going to be giving you tokens this morning to go get your cars washed, gentlemen.
These two for you. Chico, you don't have a car, but when you when somebody picks you up, you can give it to them and be a blessing to them. Amen.
Thank you.
And Dave. Okay, and these are for Dustin. I'll make sure he gets one here. Gentlemen, if you just step in closer, I'm going to pray over you. And what I want you to do is I want you to lift your hands. Father, as you see this morning in front of you, you see honest hearts, Father. You see pure hearts, Lord. You see humble hearts before you this morning as they lift their hands, not ashamed, but they're lifting their hands to you. And they seek you. And they ask, Father, for your protection. They ask for your wisdom. They ask for your guidance. And Father, even though their children are grown, Father, I ask that you give them wisdom and boldness and confidence to speak out about your love and your forgiveness and your mercy. That you are and can be their Heavenly Father to those that do not know you. So, Father, again, give them boldness, give them confidence, give them all the words that are necessary, give them the tools that they need
take the things that are in their hands, Father, and show them how to take them out of their hands and give them and put them in your hands. Show them how to cast their cares upon you, Lord. In Jesus' precious holy name. Father God, happy Father's Day. Gentlemen, happy Father's Day. God bless you. You may go back to your seat.
Amen.
Amen. And if